in the dog days of August. Thank you for joining us. We have a pretty full agenda today because we've definitely, some of the working groups have been chugging away and there's definitely some discussion to be had about what's happened in some of our subgroups. So let's just jump right in. Everybody sees the agenda on the screen. Are there any issues with the agenda or anything anybody would like to add or comment on just from an agenda perspective? Sure. Seeing none, we'll take the agenda as acceptable to the group and move into item number two, the action item. Action item number one was the new methodology for the reports, starting for the June report, and that has been completed. Number two was, Bart was going to come up with some potential scenarios for the SLE change procedure. We won't go into them right now because agenda item number five will speak to that issue in a more substantive way, so we will park that for the moment. As we will do with action item number three around the logistics for the CCNSO and GNSO council approval of any changes to the SLE. Again, we can we'll bring that back in agenda item number five. Action item number four, Elaine was to circulate to our group, to the CSC, the proposed changes to the charter, and that has been completed. We will have some further discussion on that item later too. And action item number five, a little more logistical, but around what we're going to do in terms of the annual report or annual reporting as we move towards the Abu Dhabi meeting. And again, we have that in a more fulsome agenda item number six. So we'll park that for now until we come to it in agenda item number six. That's where we are on the action item. Any questions or comments on the action items? Given most of them are coming back around later in the agenda. Okay, seeing or hearing none, we will move on to the standard substance of this call, which is around the PTI report to the CSC, which again this month met the 100% mark for the SLA thresholds for the July reporting period. But Elise, it's almost anticlimactic now. Is there anything you'd like to draw our attention to in the 100% report?
Well, I would like to mention the addendum because mm-hmm. we are continuing to add the information related to the IDM table processing. And there were no root zone replications or root server changes. But we also added the information that we had some difficulty with our collection tool this month. And at one point, we had to do some activity to restore some of the data that we normally collect in the collection tool. So we have a couple paragraphs that explain what we did and how we recreated the data. We didn't recreate it. We recovered it, didn't make it up. And how we are continuing to work on remediating and identifying the underlying issue of why we had a problem with the data capture. But we happily had the help of Ali Muhammadi and Kim Davies and Naella, and they managed to restore the data so that we were able to meet the 100%.
And your confidence in that, because I think because I read in there somewhere, there's about a 90-hour period in question.
Yes, and Naella, would you like to speak to that specifically because you were mostly involved in this? Naella, are you on mute or not on the phone? Okay, if she's not speaking, I will. So, yes, there was a short period of time, and the categories affected were the acceptance, recognition time, the email dispatch time, recognition of confirmation time, notification of completion time, and credential recovery time and credential change time. Those are things that are in the seconds at best, and they're mostly automated. So we felt that... just a second. Amy Kramer's just come in, and she can't get on, so she's asking me to put mine on speaker so she can hear us.
Okay.
We're confident that there were no anomalous activities during that by going through and looking at the tickets and the timestamps for tickets, but we couldn't recreate the data in the SLE dashboard for that period of time for just those categories.
Okay.
So are there any other questions about that?
Any questions by any of the CSC members or observers?
Byron Cowell has his hand up.
Go ahead, Cal.
Thanks, Byron. My comment was actually on the IBM table information. It would be useful, not on this call, but perhaps offline, if Kim could perhaps give us an idea of the processes involved so that we could start to move to an effective SLA or a useful SLA for those, just so that we've got an understanding of the mechanics of what's happening and what's involved, because I noted that one of them required some revisions by the submitter, and it'd be useful to know how that breaks down, whether most of the time is spent waiting for the submitter or most of it's spent analyzing the before we can come up with a useful SLA, it's going to be important to understand what a reasonable process actually looks like.
Go ahead, Byron.
No, I was just going to say thanks for the question, Cal. Elise, do you have a comment on that?
I was just going to ask, so would this be an action for us to follow up, Cal, with you after or sometime between this meeting and the next meeting, or how would you like to proceed? Just so I can understand clearly what the request is.
Yes, I just replied in chat, but I realized that you weren't on the chat. Yes, a follow-up is fine.
Okay, thank you. I have Amy Kramer with me just for the record because I guess she can't get into the Adobe Connect room. So she and
I
are...
into the audio.
Oh, she couldn't get into the audio. I guess she got into the Adobe Connect.
Yeah.
So I have phone and she has Adobe Connect.
Oh, yeah. The two of us will make it work.
All right. Well, between you, you've got both. So, and Cal, your hand is still up. Do you have another question or is that just an old hand? Thank you.
That's an old hand. And according to my client, it's down.
Okay. And you'll follow up with Elise. Thank you. Elise, just on the issue that you had, do you understand what the underlying problem was, and is there a fix? I mean, was this a one-time thing that's behind us, or do you clearly understand what happened and have a resolution?
No, we don't clearly understand at this time exactly what happened. We're still investigating. We hope it's a one-time thing. But I see from Amy's chat that Naella is back online now. And so, Naella, I don't know if you want to speak to the data collection issue we had and whether or not there's any further information. My last update was we're still investigating.
Yeah, thank you, and sorry about earlier. I think I got dropped off somehow. So what the issue was is we have, the way the system works is it collects the data and creates events and then stores those events in, there's a place where the events get stored, and then the dashboard goes and collects these events. The events come from the root zone automation system, and then the dashboard goes out and collects these events. We pretty much know that the 90-hour period, just to the earlier question, it was only the microsecond measurements that we could not restore because we have other places where we restore these measurements but not these specific measurements. So we know what the issue was. The issue is that we restore these measurements in a place for about 2 weeks, and then they get dropped off because more events are getting written while the dashboard is consuming the stuff that has already been written to this place. We've instrumented something to make the dashboard alert us if these events aren't coming in for a period of 6 hours, because it would be very unusual for that many events not to come to us in a 6-hour period. So we know going forward we shouldn't see this happen again, because we've added alarms that alert us right away if nothing is coming in. We are still investigating on why, for whatever reason, those events did not get stored in this table where we expect to find them. I'd like to take a little bit more time, maybe an action item, to give you a fuller report why we're in the next meeting when we finish that investigation. We feel very confident that we shouldn't have that problem again. We've added alerts and bells, like I said. But we're not 100% sure yet why we didn't know that those events weren't getting logged during that 90-hour period.
Okay, thank you very much. So let's take that as an action item then for reporting back on our next meeting and getting a better understanding, or at least getting an understanding of whatever you've discovered in the interim.
Okay, yep.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Could I don't know, at least for me, the agenda has disappeared off the Adobe Connect screen. Or whatever's supposed to be there right now.
The PPI report was just up, but I put the agenda back on. Can you see it?
No, you know what, it's just,
It says CSC report, Byron.
Yes, okay. For whatever reason, that's not presenting for me. I have everything around it, but not the actual document itself. We did a major firewall upgrade here in our shop, and it is wreaking a little havoc with some applications, and certainly with Adobe Connect, so I apologize for that. Anyway, okay, so we'll move on then to agenda item 3B, which is the CSC report, which at this point is relatively standard. I only have one question around it, but before I ask my question, are there any comments or questions people would like to raise on the CSC report? Okay, seeing no other hands up, I'm just curious, or perhaps have a comment around the proposed wording on escalations. Which
we haven't come back.
We could just skip to that. And so to date, PTI has been PTI has notified the CSC of two escalations. CSC took note of the escalations and asked PTI to inform the CSC should there be any activity related to their additional activity related to the resolutions. I think here the one suggestion I'd make is that kind of leaves it outstanding. It doesn't feel closed, and I wouldn't want to have to just keep having to have something like this here. So my question is really, do we want to have some way to, you know, just clearly identify that these are closed? Something to the effect that PTI has informed the CSC that no new escalations were received, assuming, of course, that to be true, and that the two existing ones have been resolved or closed, again, if that is absolutely correct. Just something that puts some finality to anything outstanding, because if there isn't some final statement, I would feel that we would have to continue to have it reflected in some way, shape, or form.
That's this is only... Elise. I like that suggestion.
Now, it's a suggestion. Thank you for that, Elise. anybody else on CSC membership or observers want to make a comment on that, but like I said, I just feel if they've been resolved, then we need to state that, and then they don't come back again unless, of course, something happens. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it just feels like there's an overhang that hasn't been cleared up. Any objection to...
Elaine, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, Elaine, I do hear you, but you're somewhat faint, so please speak up as much as you can.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to raise that, too. I thought it might be worthwhile to put the dates of the escalations in there or somehow indicate that this isn't, like, every month we have the same two escalations, because this text is repeating itself. So either put the date of the escalations in that they're no longer an issue, or do we want to even remove this paragraph since this is a monthly report?
Yeah, exactly. So whether I tend to like the date idea, that puts greater specificity and clarity to the fact that it's resolved and when. And maybe I would ask Elise and team to just reflect on the comments you've heard and what I've suggested. And I think what we're suggesting is just, or actually I guess, this being the CSC report.
So, Byron, Amy's typed some text, or she tried to capture the text you had said, which was no new escalations have been received, and the past two escalations have been closed.
Insert dates.
Yeah, we could insert dates. Would you like Amy to try and propose some text, or do you want to...
Sure, that would be good. And again, I'm going to apologize. It seems like my firewall is slowing it down. I don't actually have that. The last thing I have is from James Gannon, and I have nothing from Amy. But based on what you just said, yes, something like that. And I think the date, I like Elaine's suggestion, because that puts greater specificity to the resolution timing. So yeah, based on what I heard from Amy, and then a date, that sounds good.
So Amy,
yes. Yeah, I'll send out the changes after the meeting, like I normally do.
Okay. Any objections to that from CSC? Otherwise, we'll go forward with that. Thank you. So let's move on to agenda item number 4, and that's the update from the Remedial Actions Procedures Working Group, of which I am a member of that, so I'm going to provide the update on that. In fact, we just met earlier today after having a number of back and forths on email over the past month. So it's still a work in progress. We had continued discussions around the straw man proposal for the remedial action procedures. And we went through some edits. James had put forward some suggestions as well as sort of ongoing dialogue over the course of the month. And based on the discussions this morning, we're going to turn around a new iteration of that, which is committed to be ready for no later than Tuesday, but I think work has already been done there. And Elise and team had put together a proposed flowchart that, to their best understanding, mapped to the narrative document that we've been working on. I think it's close. Once we fine-tune the narrative version, they're going to take another crack at the process flow so people can both read the words on the page, but also then see a process flow. And that process flow update will happen subsequent to the next iteration of the narrative document being put forward. Again, that'll be happening next week. So we'll have another working group meeting sometime later this month, or actually probably later this month, August, and be able to bring it to the full CSC in our September meeting. That's the status of the RAP working group. Unless any of my colleagues on the working group would like to add anything, and or any questions from the broader CSC. Okay, seeing none, we will move on to agenda item number 5 around an update on the procedure for the SLA, or SLE. So I am going to ask Bart to provide a run-through on that, and a status update on that.
Yeah, thank you, Byron. I've shared it. Maria, can you share the narrative document? Okay, I've used the workflow document, which was discussed, I believe, two sessions ago. It was complicated. You asked for, say, resourcing. Not this one. Yeah, so, and then go into the other document. So this was just to recap what we discussed. The question was to come up with a scenario for to use the Abu Dhabi meeting for all the SLE changes that were suggested. What I've included in the document that I shared with you this afternoon is, say, a description of the workflow, so a narrative matching the CSC procedure. And the interesting bit is, I hope you can see it, is the table at the end of the document, the around the schedule for using the Abu Dhabi meeting, so ICANN 60, to inform and discuss potential SLE changes with the community. If, as you can see, the critical date, because there is a consultation process which includes a public forum, that is 55 days. So it needs to start and kick off before the Abu Dhabi meeting to use the Abu Dhabi meeting for consultations with specific groups. And then you can go into the CCNSO, GNSO approval processes, et cetera. In order to meet the date before Abu Dhabi, say the proposed changes reports or suggested changes to the SLE need to be ready by, I would say, the 5th of October to open the public forum around the 9th of October. And if this, say, if you would follow this type of schedule or scenario, the CCNSO and GNSO approval processes by the end of the year for their meetings by the end of the year could be used. So, and this is based on consultation with Marika Konings and knowing the CCNSO council process and procedures, and that's in the document itself. So this is more or less the scenario timeline and the minimal duration of the periods if you want to use the Abu Dhabi meeting. And I would say the critical date is that the proposed changes to the service levels with a kind of, say, a reporting or in a type of report needs to be ready by the 9th of October and signed off by the PTI and CSC. And from there, then you can use the Abu Dhabi meeting. That's it, Baru. Any questions or remarks?
Any questions or comments for Bart? Has Jay shown up yet? No. Okay. So I guess the long and the short.
Jay is on the call.
Oh, Jay's on the call. Okay.
I think he may have dropped out because he couldn't hear earlier, so he might be dialing back in.
Okay. Elaine has raised her hand.
Okay, thank you. Elaine, please go ahead.
Thanks. So I'm just wondering, is this change proposal meant to be material changes to the SLE, or will it also apply to things like the two escalation procedures we've noted where the SLE doesn't seem to be the right amount of time for the actual function?
I didn't hear you quite well, Elaine. Maybe somebody... Fine, could you repeat the question? Or Elaine, could you speak up a little?
Yeah, I would actually ask if Elaine could repeat it and try to speak louder.
Okay. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm wondering if this process is intended for only material changes to the SLE, or would it apply to minor changes as well?
The way I understand it, this is for all changes to the SLE, because effectively, and that's the say material changes, if you go down that path, it's defined in the IANA contract itself, and the SLE is not part of it as far as I understand it. But this means any change of the statement of work or any changes of, Section 2 of Annex A to the IANA contract. That's what the current wording of the CEC charter and the IANA contract.
Which,
okay, thank you.
Yeah, I was going to say, hopefully that answers your question, and it does highlight, Elaine, and it does certainly highlight the fact that it is an onerous and lengthy process, which certainly would appear to be required for literally any change. So it's not something we want to do very often. That's an assumption of mine, I guess, but it would seem to me to be something that we would not want to do very often, and therefore, if we're going to undertake it, we want to make sure we've captured everything we can think of at any given point in time. Cal, I can see you've got your hand up. Go ahead.
Thanks, Myron. I just wanted to follow up quickly on that comment from Bart. Does that mean that adding the any SLE for the IDN submission and publication is going to be even more onerous than in this process before us?
I don't think so, but that's me. I would probably need to check with say more qualified. But my sense is, and understanding the documentation, That's not the case. This is your basic procedure. And no matter how, it will put more weight on the first phases on defining the scope, but you have to follow this process and these procedures for whatever change suggested by between the CSC and PTI. Say, if there is a change following another mechanism, so which is also foreseen, yeah, there is another procedure. But this is the basic process for the CSC PTI changes. And the real issue, and what makes it lengthy, is the public consultation. Myron James has his hand up. Ah, and Jay is on the call as well.
Welcome back, Jay. James, go ahead.
Thanks. I have no substantive comments on you know, what we are doing here. Like, this makes sense to me, and it fits with my understanding of what the process has to be. So I'm just going to throw out here that, you know, this is essentially a 3 to 3.5 month process, end to end. So, you know, as far as this is something that we likely will really not want to do very often. So we should have a strong think about whether we want to do this in line with the next ICANN meeting or whether we want to undertake an exercise ourselves to really go in deep and make sure that we have pulled together absolutely everything that we may want to change before we kick off this process. Because even if we identify something small after we've started this, we're back into another, you know, 3+ month process to start again. So, you know, let's have a think about whether this is the right timing for when we want to kick off this very lengthy process.
Thanks, Dan. Alan has a comment. Alan, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Byron. Just following along that comment, we might want to consider the first time we go down the road of amending the contract, we may wish to see if there's an opportunity for putting in a more streamlined process for smaller changes. In other words, rather than have to deal with this lengthy process every time there's any change, see if there's an opportunity the first time we do, for example, changes to the SLEs would probably fall in the category of less material than changes to the contract itself. So that's something to consider as well.
Bart, your hands up.
Yeah. I understand, say, the concern, but if you look at it, the real, say, what really takes out a lot of time is the consultation process and the CC&O approval process. And the consultation process is as long because you need to go through a public forum. And if you look at, say, as soon as the CC&O and GNSO councils are involved, which is currently the requirement, then you need to use, say, the consultation process. So, in other words, what you effectively are saying or suggesting, or Alan is suggesting, if you want to make it a lightweight process, then you take out the CC&O and GNSO Council's approvals. And the question is whether, under which and when that is warranted. Who will decide which is lightweight and which isn't? What is it?
Right. Which is a 55-day process of the total.
The consultation process, is it just, say, what determines it is the public forum. With a minimal time of 40 days, you open a public forum where people can comment on, say, the proposed changes. It doesn't mean that there is any work involved. It could be, but you need to go through the motions. And it's part of the requirements, I would say, especially of the GNSO approval process. And this is what was suggested as well. Jay?
Hi. So this is what it is. And I think that the response is, rather than to change that, is to look at the nature of the contract and to see what elements of it we think might ever need a more rapid change without that level of consultation. You know, whether that should be in some form of appendix or side document that can be changed independently without going through the main process, and that that should be limited to some things that we could perhaps consult on initially, as is it okay if we move these into a side document that can be changed more quickly. But if we can't identify anything that should go into that, then we just have to live with the length of this process.
Thanks, Jay.
Jay, I understand and I agree, but this is based on the CSC Charter. The CSC Charter provides that the CCNSO and GNSO need to approve changes to the SLEs before it even goes up to the change of the complex, which is between ICANN and PTI. So that's probably... It could be, and maybe that's a good question as well going into the next item, whether and under which circumstances this is needed and whether that should change in the CSC Charter.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's a fair point. And then we get into the timing and logistics of it and whether that kind of, that discussion can be had in a meaningful way such that we can actually meet the, regardless of the outcome of that conversation, that we can meet the dates required for this potential change to the SLE. James, go ahead.
Yeah, just a quick comment following on from that. I think changing that within the CSC Charter is probably the easier of the two hurdles we would have there. How we would then reflect that into the IATA functions contract, which is also governed by the fundamental bylaw and everything else, that would be the much bigger hurdle for us to get over to get community support for changing that side of it, I think. You know, the CSC Charter piece, I think, will be the easier of those two hurdles to get over if we want to go down that road.
Yeah, so maybe the case, and that may in fact be the case, and this may be a two-stepper in that we do something on the CSC Charter which provides for the future possibility of creating a change whereby the some small subsection of relatively, I'm not sure I want to use the trivial, but non-material issues can be addressed through the SLEs without having to go through the full process. So maybe that's two separate steps. Right now, during the charter review, we take that first step, which provides for that space, and the next time we do a change to the SLEs that we include these additional, I guess, powers for the CSC.
Byron, may I make one more comment with respect to this table? What is not included here, and I have no idea how long this will take, and I haven't looked into it, but this is leading up to the, as you will see in the document, to ICANN.org and PTI.org approval process. How long that will take, I haven't looked into, but that could be substantial, again, depending on the process. And I could imagine that, I would imagine that, say, the more is done in say, the first four phases, so and especially the more in-depth consultation, the easier this type of process would go between ICANN.org and PTI.org. But as I said, I haven't looked into this. I have no idea how this would work out. I can follow up and check with Sam and others, but it's not included. But that needs to happen as well, as you said. That's the second phase.
Right. Okay. Thanks for reminding us of that. And I just want to actually draw people's attention to Cal's comment, which I think is probably correct, and that's noting the fact that potential changes to the SLE are likely to be something that this particular group or iteration of the CSC is going to be more likely to have to deal with perhaps in future iterations of the CSC, just by virtue of the fact that this is all new to the community, and therefore changes made are more likely to be soon, you know, the need for changes is more likely to become apparent sooner rather than after it's a well-oiled machine. So I can't say for sure that that will be the case, but I think intuitively it does make sense. So in terms of where we go from here, perhaps I can suggest that let's just look at the logistics of this and are there any challenges or comments to the table and the timing as BART has laid it out. Or essentially we are basically in agreement that this reflects the course of action that we've got to take and the associated timing. So I'll assume we agree with that then, hearing nothing. And then if we look at it from a timing perspective vis-a-vis the Abu Dhabi meeting, then by early October, October 9th, we would have to begin the consultation process, which of course means that we would have had to agree on what it is that we would like to put forward in advance of that, which, given this is late August, surprisingly is not that far away and doesn't give us that much time to actually work on it. So I think we have enough time, but certainly not an abundance of time. So if we have what would seem to me to be general agreement on the process that BART has outlined, now we'll have to think about the process for developing the actual substantive changes to the SLEs based on everything that we've talked about over the last 10 months. And I know that Jay and Cal had agreed to do some of the heavy lifting on this, to think about any of those proposed changes. But I think it's also important that the rest of the group also reflect on anything that that we've thought about over the course of the past 10 months, and also staff too. But Jay or Cal, did you want to jump in here in terms of any thoughts on the process for how we could actually put pen to paper on creating a list of items that we may want to include in this process?
Shall I go first, Cal? Oh, no, you go first, Cal.
Go for it, Jay.
Jay, I'll answer after you.
Yeah, okay. I've been very lax in this process. So ultimately, I mean, I have a list of things already written down personally that need to go into it, and it's simply a matter of arranging the meeting with Cal for us to discuss those things. So now that we have a deadline, that's a motivational element, missing motivational element to ensure that I'll do my part, but otherwise I haven't done anything so far.
Yeah. So, There's nothing like a deadline to sharpen one's focus, and I can certainly appreciate that. So, I mean, we would have to, I think, have pretty clear idea of where we're going by the September meeting of this group if we are going to make the early October date. So I think that speaks to a required date. Cal, you got your hand up? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to note that I think we have a good idea of the actual SLEs that we want changed and what those values should be and the rough justifications that we would have around those, although we may sharpen those justifications. My concern is that the IDN changes are probably much further away. We have a much poorer understanding of what a good SLE would be and a lot less, I think, information to back that up. And my concern is that in the face of scrutiny, it would be hard to argue one way or another. So during the consultation process, I think we might be found out with the IDN process in particular. My concern, though, is that if we don't add it to this list of updates, we're kicking the can down the road and we'll have to justify a second iteration of changes in the future, or simply just the IDN changes. I don't know how we can solve that problem given a lack of knowledge of the IDN process.
Thanks, Cal. Any further discussion? So what do we do with that, Cal? Because, I mean, I take your point, and I'm certainly not as close to the IDN issue as you are. But do we take, you know, do we take what we have and run with it, recognizing that the IDN are likely just simply to require more and take longer and will have to be worked on, you know, at another point and another day?
I think certainly members of the registry stakeholder group were keen to have the IDN submission SLEs present. They were not so concerned about the actual value for those submissions, just the present and they could be tracked. So we could come up with a generous SLE and submit that. My concern is that any kind of scrutiny during the consultation process where someone asks why we came up with a particular value, it's going to be mostly, our answer is going to be mostly guesswork. I don't know if that's a problem or if that will be perceived as a shortcoming of the CSC. It's, I guess it's an open question whether we go forward with a little information or we go forward later with a lot more information.
Could I ask Elise, what's your take on that?
I agree that the IDN table is going to be an issue, and I think that we're going to need more time to discuss in detail what kind of SLAs they are. We've been putting together a table which provides information, but I don't think we've had any conversations with anybody on the CSC or elsewhere about how that would be interpreted to become an SLA. So I don't feel confident, I guess, that we could come up with an SLA by October, or it's an agreed upon SLA.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. Jay, go ahead.
Thank you. So this goes back to previous points about what needs to go through a consultation process and what doesn't. Is there a case to be made that actual values as assigned to SLA items perhaps do not need to go through a full consultation. It is the structure of the SLA, it is what is measured that is more important, and that some tweaking of values or resetting of values can be delegated to the CSC without going through a consultation process.
Well, and that's a good question. I guess the challenge is that something we can even entertain addressing in this round? Or is it something that's going to have to wait for the next, you know, as, maybe you weren't on the phone earlier, and we talked briefly about what can be accomplished in this round versus what may have to be accomplished the next time we go through this process, which could include actually changing the process. James, you've got your hand up. Please go ahead.
Hi. So I was basically going to make the same point that you had. So, yeah, you've covered what I was going to say.
Yeah. So in terms of how we get to resolution on IDN, so let me just back this up. Cal and Jay, you've got a list of things that we've developed over time. Certainly, I think most of the things that are probably going to be on that list, we've discussed at some point over the last 10 months. So part of it will just be simply going through the notes of each of the meetings to make sure they're captured. And also I would ask certainly staff to help validate that in any way, shape, or form possible. While certainly work, I think that is a relatively understood and straightforward action item, and we have a time for that by the next meeting. As far as the IDNs go, you know, do we do it in a sense the way we experience the design team A working group work where the SLEs actually came into being, and certainly some of them were not, I would say, crisply understood what the actual ranges should be. But nevertheless, the item was included, and a best guesstimate by educated and informed participants was put forward. And in part, that's why we're discussing changing these SLEs, because over time we've come to recognize that the ranges put forward were not crisp enough for us. So perhaps, what does the group think about doing what Cal had suggested, which is just recognizing that this is a metric that needs to be identified and measured in the SLEs, and that we put forward some very generous or wide range and just be transparent about it, that this is a marker, we are going to measure this, we put forward a very wide range until we understand better what the average range is are more likely to be, and at some future SLE adjustment, we will narrow them down. And I mean, I think it was to Cal's point, you know, how do we justify on closer scrutiny through a consultation process with a much broader community? And to my mind, it is just simply being transparent. This is transparent and consistent. So it would be consistent with the work done previously by Design Team A, and I think it's also reasonable, and from that perspective, I think could be, you know, we could be successful with it in a consultation.
So may I pop in, Byron?
Yes.
I'm going to have to get out at the airport very soon. My concern with that approach, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, yes, please go ahead, and then Jay after that.
So my concern with that approach is that at least when with the design team A, we had discussions about what could be measured and we understood how to measure it. I don't even think we know what we can measure well. We've been providing tables, but just picking a number out of the air, not just out of the air, but without discussing, you know, what we have proposed in the tables for the last 3 months and how they would be measured, translate into measurements, I think is a discussion we haven't even entered into. So it's we're not quite at the stage of being able to assume a number, in my opinion, but maybe others on my team feel differently, but we haven't had that kind of conversation, and we haven't had it with the CSC members either. Go ahead, whoever's next.
Jay, go ahead.
Thank you. So, yeah, I agree with Elise here. I think that there are two things that we should be doing here. One of them is that we should be developing a lightweight process or a process as to how a new SLA line item is introduced, which has a measurement period at the front of it. Has a definition period process, then a measurement period for PTI to be able to understand what the implications of that, then, you know, other periods afterwards until we end up with a final figure and a final defined line item, which is, as Elise said, roughly what took place through design team A processes. And I'm willing to draw that up and put that out as a standard process around those things. The second point is assuming that we are able to do some of that and for the this round of consultation have a reasonably agreed definition in there, I really would not like to go through another round of consultation simply to agree what the figure should be that goes in there. I don't believe that the figure is something that needs to be consulted on more widely. I think that it's something that is reasonable to be delegated to us as representatives of the community to decide. So I'm also willing, as part of the work that Cal and I do, to draw up some form of wording that goes through this consultation that changes whatever bits necessary that allows us to then work on that basis in future if, of course, the rest of you agree that that's a reasonable way forward.
Thanks, Jay. Nayala, and then James.
Thanks, Byron. To support what Elise and Jay said, what we've been providing is basically a start date and end date because we haven't been told what measurements are valuable to the community that they want us to measure. So what we need, what might be helpful is for us to present at the next meeting maybe a little bit of a high level of what this process includes, what processing steps we do, because it's actually a fairly simple process. We're given an IDN table that we then publish. So what you want us to track in the process is what we don't have instrumented right now. We can take these measurements and report on them, but we don't know what's important for this community for us to report on. That's why you've only seen a start and an end date, because literally if you go into our ticket, those are the things that you can find, the only dates. If you want us to track, to Cal's point, how long it takes us to do clarifications and what type of clarifications are being asked, that's totally fair. We just need to know what those measurements are and start instrumenting the measurements and measuring against them. I'm also not concerned about the number. It's what it is that we need to measure going forward. Thank you.
Thank you. James, go ahead.
So I just want to come back to Cal's point about, you know, potentially changing the process during this consultation. So first of all, I agree that there should be a process for the CSC to agree on not insubstantial changes, but whatever wording with, you know, on changes that are tweaks rather than material changes within our remit without having to go through a full consultation process. However, we do need to realize that that is a pretty big change to the way that the charter envisions it and the way that the NF Functions contract envisions it. So, you know, if we're going to go down that route of asking for that to be changed, let's try and get that done as quickly as possible so we can start circulating that and preparing people for the questions that will come on why are we changing what was agreed during the transition process immediately and what our justifications are for that, and we will need to have that really, really fleshed out rather than being, you know, just an initial set of our thoughts. So, you know, if we're going to go try and get that done during this consultation, we need to start working on that really quickly because, you know, we need to have that ready by essentially the end of next month.
Right. So that goes back to one of the earlier points that Bart made in terms of requiring changes to the charter before we could even really entertain this. So you do have something of a chronology issue as well, I believe. I'd have to map it out, but it certainly strikes me that that would be the case. Cal, go ahead.
I just wanted to point out that the comment I made earlier in the meeting regarding getting some offline updates regarding the ID process was exactly with this in mind. So I think it would be great if we could pursue that offline, understand the process in more detail, and then we might understand how big the problem is. It might turn out to be not big at all, and we could make an update at the next meeting, or it might be too big and we have to accept defeat and leave the IDM update process, or leave the IDM facilities out of this phase.
Could you repeat the last couple of sentences there, Cal? You faded away on me, at least.
Okay, sorry. I was saying that based on whether after we've received the offline update to the processes of the IDN submission or the IDN submission process, we could probably make an assessment before the next meeting whether or not it's reasonable to pursue including that in the group of SLEs to be updated or added. So we should have an answer one way or another before the next meeting. I don't think we need to wait until IHSC Mayo has commented that says that Kim can provide that update. So that's what I'm hoping for, that we can learn the intricacies of the process and understand whether or not it's a reasonable thing to do in the time frame that we've given ourselves. And if it's not, then by the next meeting we should know that.
Okay. All right, good. Thank you. That sounds reasonable. Okay, so just trying to bring that to ground. We, from a process perspective, we have Bart's table where we have agreement that that is it. We have a timeline for the understood metrics or changes to the SLE that we want to make, and then we have one overhanging issue which is related to our broader capacity to actually make changes without going through the full consultation exercise, and that's going to require some changes to the CFC charter before we can do that. So perhaps that is a good segue to agenda item number 6, which now becomes very much a related item, and that is an update on the CSC charter review. So if there's no objection, we'll move on to agenda item number 6 and go with what I know was intended there, but then also add to the discussion what we have just been reflecting on in terms of our ability to make minor changes without going through a full consultation process. So, Elaine, I know you've been working on the charter review and circulated a draft to the CSC. Could I ask you to step us through that or at least kick us off before discussion?
Sure, yes, I can do that. Hopefully everyone had a chance to review that email and the documents included. Is it possible to just put the proposed changes to the charter in the display?
And the narrative version.
Highlight the items yeah. There we go. So we can go through these one by one. Several of them have a similar discussion. So the first one is just to add the date for when the transfer of responsibilities took place. And then the next item is we were considering changing the title of the IANA functions operator to the public technical identifier, or PTI, given that the PTI has been contracted to perform this work. But James Gannon raised an issue on the email, which I think we should probably discuss, that the charter might not want to specifically name the contracted party, but just say whoever it is that's doing that function. So I'd like to have a chance to talk about that and in that discussion consider that I think there should be some consistency. So if we're going to name it IANA functions operator in the charter, it should probably be that as well in the remedial action procedure. So does anybody have any thoughts on keeping IFO in there? I asked James if he do.
Yeah, James.
Yep, I'll jump in. So this was just brilliant. Thanks, Ryan. This was something that we discussed during a lot of the CWG work, and it was, you know, a chosen distinction that we made to in documents such as this to the IANA functions operator, not just in the CSC charter, but across a number of different, you know, construction documents that we drafted at the time. The reason being that, you know, okay, in reality, we all know that PTI is hopefully going to be performing this for a very long time to come, and that, you know, everything will go great. But one of the big outcomes of the transition process was that we now, as the community, have an ability to change the IANA functions operator from PTI to someone else if we need to in the future. And that was a very important, I suppose, almost political distinction that we made. And I would like to just see that reflected in the documentation as much as we can, that, you know, the CSC's role is currently to oversee PTI, but that may not be the case forever. You know, we may be overseeing another IANA functions operator at some stage in, you know, the next 20 years. Hopefully we won't, but I would just like just to consider, you know, not moving to the specific contracted party, but rather just refer generically to whoever is performing the IANA functions operator at the time.
Thanks, James. Any objection to James's suggestion? No? Okay, thank you. Elaine, carry on.
Thanks. So along that line, though, can we make sure that we're consistent with that in the other documents? I think the remedial action procedure mentions PTI specifically and not the IFO. Or is there a reason to name PTI in some documents and IFO in others?
James, go ahead.
Yeah, I just, Cal put in the same. I think that, you know, should be the same as well, that we should refer to the IANA functions operator in those as well. I don't see any issue with that.
Okay.
Great.
All right. So then the next one is just changing the phrase poor performance to performance issues and removing the reference to the procedure listed in the annex. Comments on that one? Is everybody okay with that?
I think if you hear silence, you have to take it to carry on, consent and carry on.
So the next one is just, again, the IANA functions operator being changed to PTI, that we can strike that change. So we're keeping the IFO there. The next item, it just rephrases that the CSC can escalate to the CCNSO and GNSO instead to know the CSC can raise its issues via the remedial action procedure. So just clarifying that the CSC wouldn't go directly to CCNSO and GNSO. Okay, 5 seconds of silence has passed. I'll move on. So basically the next slide is making sure that there's consistency with the meaning function contract, and to make it clear that CSC action is only in respect to individual complaints if there is a performance issue identified. So the CSC would not go directly to the PTI board as the original text seems to indicate. Okay, next box is, again, IANA functions operator PTI will strike that suggested change, so PTI will be removed and IFO stays the same. Then the next box, the text that's rather lengthy here, the interesting part is at the end where we have a statement that says any recommended change that does not require a change to the IANA naming function contract must be approved by CCNSO and ROISG. Sorry, my scrolling has just gone a little crazy. Let me get that back up there.
Can you explain that one, Elaine?
Right, so over in the third box is an explanation. The new language is meant to make it clear that if an improvement involves a change to the contract, the process is more complex and it involves more than the CCNSO and ROISG approval.
Okay, because it... Right, okay.
It reads like the inverse, but that's the intention.
But it doesn't say what a change to the IANA naming function contract must involve.
So I don't know if that's covered somewhere else in the charter, but I believe that's the lengthy and onerous process that we've just discussed, right, where it goes out to public comment.
Yeah, that's actually 2 points further on down, I think, isn't it? So that's okay. Sorry, I'm okay with that. It's fine.
Okay. Any other comments on this box? The next one is just changing the IFO to PTI, which we will strike that change. Then we've got new text. It says the CSC will develop with the PTI and ICANN a process for amending the IANA naming function contract in order to implement any change in the provision of the IANA operational services or change to service level targets. And as we've discussed, we don't yet have a process for that. It has to be agreed upon by the community. So this paragraph has been inserted into the charter to make it clear that a change process is needed and a consultation should be undertaken. Okay, next box is just clarifying that the CSC will provide a liaison to the CSC Charter Review Team. It just renames the IANA Function Review Team to CSC Charter Review Team. And James, I don't know if you have a comment on that, if there's a concern since that's a change in title. And I see, Cal, you have your hand up. Cal, do you want to go first?
Thanks, Lane. I just wanted to, actually, it was on the earlier point, I was a bit slow putting my hand up. I just wanted to clarify that that new text, that doesn't just cover SLE additions and modifications. Is that the intention, or is that we plan on having a whole of contract update process?
Alan, will you be able to address that question? I think this is your text, and I can't recall the breadth of it.
Well, sure, Lynn, thank you. The idea here is this actually goes back to the previous discussion we're having, that is to say, about the need for a more streamlined process for changing the lesser important aspects of the contract. So the intention here is to flag this issue to the CSC review team, a CSC charter review team. Now, in light of the discussion we just had, perhaps the words the IANA operational services might be a bit of a bridge too far, but we might want to fiddle with the language here just to make it more general, to be consistent with what we talked about, as I say, on the need for a more fast track process for changes to the contract that are that may be necessary and that are not. That are small in nature. So maybe the words would have to be revisited on this in light of our previous discussion. But I guess the question is, does everyone agree with flagging this to the CSC charter team?
Yeah, we have Cal. It thinks that's a good idea. I agree with that too. So we'll leave it in there. Maybe Alan, you and I can work on some.
Yeah, some more neutral language.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Does anyone have any concerns with changing the following text where it says provide a liaison to the IANA function review team instead have that provide a liaison to the CSC charter review team?
No, I'm good with that.
Okay. All right, and then the next box, the CSC will provide regular updates no less than 3 per year to the direct customers of the INN function. And it says the updates will be provided through the registered stakeholder group and CCN, it says during ICANN meetings. The suggested change is that we would only provide those updates or have a minimum of twice a year, at least twice a year. And that's to accommodate the new ICANN meeting structure where one of the meetings is a policy forum and it's significantly shorter than the others. And it's difficult to get in front of the CCNSO and RYSG during that time frame. Okay. No objections noted, so we will keep that in there. Next text, any remedial action will also be reported by the CSC.
suggested text just clarifies who we would report that to. It says, in the event the CSC invokes the remedial action procedure, it will provide regular updates to the RYSG and CCNSO of the status of the process. So we're not just randomly reporting out to the world. We would report to the customers. See, Jay has
myself and Jay have our hands up on this one.
Go for it.
So I'm happy that the specifically named people have done it, but the wording makes it, gives the potential that somebody could only update those and not make it more public. Is that the intention, that it would, that there's a possibility for private update there to, or not?
I don't think that was the intention. I think the intention was to be a directive to the CSC so we would know who we were supposed to be reporting remedial action to. If you want, we could include a sentence or a comma inclusion that says we will also post it on our publicly available website.
Well, or just regular public updates to the... That's just one word would do it, but... Yeah, I think we should avoid that possibility.
Okay, so insert public in between regular and update.
Yeah.
I agree. This is Byron. I agree with that.
Thanks. I would also like to change the RYSG to the GNSO as a whole. I think it's just more reflective of that if we're in a remedial action situation. You know, you guys as the members would be briefing the RYSG specifically, you know, most interested parties, but I would like to see it. You know, potentially could we use the wording, we'll provide regular updates to at minimum GNSO and CCNSO of the status of the progress? Something like that.
Okay, so I saw your note in the email thread, and I was curious about the distinction between the RYSG and GNSO in some cases over others. So are you saying that in the case of a remedial action procedure, it would be broader and go to the entire GNSO, whereas every other indication is just to the IANA function customers, which would be the RYSG?
Exactly. So the feedback that I've got from, you know, the non-RYSG side of GNSO is that essentially what they're interested in is when things are not going well, both to, you know, the more day-to-day running of the IANA functions, which the RYSG obviously has a vested interest in, but the broader group is interested in, okay, when it's not working, what are we as the CSC doing to oversee that, and what is PTI doing to remediate it? So it's specifically why I've called out this one as we're in a remedial action situation, something is happening. That is the point when the broader GNSO, I think, is actually interested in what we're doing, because, you know, the day-to-day, you know, management of it is not the focus.
Okay, that makes sense to me. Does anybody have any objections to that request? I think we should also review other text around the remedial action procedure and make sure it includes GNSO and not just RYSG. Bart or Rhea, would you take that as an action item?
Hi, well, Elaine, it's Alan here. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you. So then the next box says that ICANN will provide secretariat support instead of the IANA functions operator providing secretariat support. We'll strike the change for the PTI instead of the IFO. And that's just to reflect the situation we have right now as well as the requirements in the bylaws. No concerns there. So then the last item is to remove the text around the proposed remedial action procedures, and that was just meant to be an outline or a framework for what we are working on right now. So we'd like to remove that
proposed text and put in whatever it is the remedial action procedure group comes up with. Or just, sorry, not even put it in there, just reference it as a separate document.
Okay, thank you very much, Elaine. That's great. Any final comments or questions on this? Okay, well, hopefully, Elaine, are you going to Abu Dhabi?
If I can get funding for my can, I will. If I can get funding for my can, I will be there.
Okay. Well, hopefully you'll be able to do the same basic presentation to the CSC Charter Review Committee while in Abu Dhabi. Anyway, we can...
We'll
work on that as that date draws closer and your future in Abu Dhabi becomes clearer.
Okay, thanks.
Maybe I could just ask Bart, do you have any sense of timing around the Charter Review Team's meeting in Abu Dhabi?
Yes, we do, and we have some proposed timing for you as well, what we're working on. Maria, could you change the and put it into the sheet? So just for your information, both the RISG and the CCNZO have adopted the terms of reference. The group is convening and will want to have an informal conversation with you prior to the Abu Dhabi meeting, so probably around mid of October, in order to prepare. Now, what we've done as staff, and unfortunately doesn't fit the full screen, but you will see the CSC, we will propose to the CSC Charter Review to have an informal meeting on Sunday very early, a CSC face-to-face public session on Sunday as well during Block 3, and then afterwards back-to-back a public session with the CSC, including a public consultation with you on the Charter Review. On day 4, so that's on Tuesday, a update from you, or say update from you to the RISG if they meet, so that's tentative, and to the CCNZO, which has already been scheduled or tentatively scheduled, as well as a consultation of the CSC review team of the, say, CCNZO, so CCTLD present, CCTLD managers present, and of the RISG. So, and then moving forward, as you suggested, there will be what we try, we need to figure out whether the CSC wants to have a CSC review, wants to have a wrap-up meeting on Wednesday morning, and a wrap-up meeting for you, which you wanted to have tentatively, will be on Thursday during lunch. Lunch hopefully will be provided by the team, by us, by staff. That's more or less the overall schedule for, proposed schedule for you and for the CSC review team. And we are working on setting up a meeting, most likely back-to-back or during your meeting in October with the CSC review team members. That's it.
Okay, Bart, thank you. That was very fulsome, and I think you've taken care of 7B for us as well. Any comments or questions on the schedule? Okay.
Would it be possible to get a copy of that, Bart? Could you send that around?
Oh, yes, no problem. And I think Maria already circulated it today. But will be on the wiki. So it has been circulated, but we'll circulate it again. If you're comfortable, then we can put it for in a more definite form. And we'll check with the CSE review team as well.
Yeah, it's pretty hot off the press, Elaine, but I did see it in email just recently. Thanks, Bart. That's very helpful. One thing I would just ask, so assuming we are done with agenda item 6, we'll jump right into agenda item 7, which is the actual Abu Dhabi meeting, which to some degree we've covered a good chunk of it right here. Just beyond this, what about meetings with other constituencies, be it the board or ALAC or others? How are we doing on that front? Or GAC?
I haven't arranged this yet. Say one of the things is I will reach out to them, and most likely, I guess, with ALAC and others, could be on Tuesday, but we'll use the liaisons to check whether they want to meet with the CSC or not. So that's the way we've done it, say, about half a year ago. Probably that's the best way. So we haven't done that yet. So this was more the format to for the CSC itself, and we'll fill it in after this call and say before over the next week or two with the other constituencies.
Okay, that's fine. So we can take it up again at our next meeting in September, but certainly is an action item, and knowing how ICANN schedules fill up, you'll want to get on that sooner rather than later. Thank you. I think the other thing that we talked about as we hit the one-year mark for this group is an annual update, and we discussed it at our last meeting. There should be a draft of it. Can we put the draft up, at least of the framework or the outline? So I put forward a draft of a proposed annual update. Given we are currently already running late in our meeting here, we're past the half hour, I'm not going to walk through this in any detail. It was part of your package. It is a proposed outline for an annual report to the community that we could present in Abu Dhabi. It's relatively fulsome, but I think it's going to be important for this first anniversary of this new committee. And as such, as you can see from the outline, you know, it does cover a fair amount of ground. Like I said, it's not, given the time, I'm not going to walk us through it, but I would encourage everybody to provide me, but the broader list, any comments or suggestions you might have to either add or subtract from this proposed framework. But I'm going to ask that we take that to the list as opposed to discuss it in the here and now. Anyway, take a look at that. See if I've missed anything or if I'm being redundant and covering things repeatedly or too much. And like I say, post that. Other than that, I don't see any requirements for more material for the Abu Dhabi meeting, be it the annual report and anything to do with CSC with the charter review and the material required for the consultation, which between them all is certainly a fairly considerable amount of work. But as I see Abu Dhabi shaping up, that's, I think, what we need for. Any other thoughts or comments? Have we missed anything? Nope, seeing none. Okay. Then that's what we're going to work towards. And like I say, I look forward to any comments you have on the proposed annual report framework. I will move to agenda item number 8, which is any other business. Is there any other business that anyone would like to raise? Cal, go ahead.
Thanks, Byron. This goes to what Elaine was saying earlier. I've actually circulated an email directly just to the CSC members, but I thought it's appropriate to raise it now. I think travel support for the CSC might be something we want to consider. I know that as a commercial entity, my organisation is unwilling to fly me to ICANN purely for CSC meetings, and my priorities lie elsewhere when it comes to travel. It's mostly technical. So I don't know how we go about obtaining travel support, but I think it might be something we want to pursue.
Okay. Let me look into that. And I'll provide some feedback on that in the coming weeks. Okay, any other business? Okay, seeing none, we'll adjourn this meeting. Thank you very much, everybody. We covered a lot of ground there, so thank you very much. And see you on the list over the course of the month, and talk again in September. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Thank you.